Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Parenting is hard. We all know that. Doesn't come with a manual. Parents will say that. Well, no one only know what I learned from my parents. That's why we turn to books from authors all the time. Parents read books all the time. Like, ooh, what do you do if your child does this? But aren't the answers already out there from 98 years ago?
Father of mine.
Oh, very appropriate.
Tell me, where have you been? You know, I just closed
this
my
is a song
eyes.
About great
my
parenting.
World is up here.
Everclear,
father,
Everclear, yeah.
Take me back to the day. Yeah, when I was still your golden boy, back before you went away. I remember blue skies walking the
block.
Yeah.
Well, this parenting
yeah, a little
book
bit, yeah.
by Bernard McFadden.
You know,
that was the beginning of the Great Depression, so they couldn't even afford the D at the end of his name. It was right in the thick of it. Oh, dude, Dust Bowl.
That's rough times.
And Hoover's hoodlums in the park and everything else. This book is called How to Raise the Baby. Not your baby. The baby.
The baby.
The baby.
Now, Bernard McFadden's also the author of McFadden's Encyclopedia of Physical Culture.
Oh,
Eating
yeah.
for Health and Strength.
Okay.
Strength. Behind the Eyes, Hat Culture,
Hat Culture,
Tooth Textures and Truths, and other works on health and sex.
Boy, old Bernard was really an expert on everything.
I don't know if anybody bought his books because it's also published by McFadden Publications Incorporated, New York City, 1926. So he might have just been some rich coot with big ideas.
Conflict of interest there, it seems.
Here are some things they say in this book of recommendations for parents in 1926, 98 years ago.
Okay.
Some mothers, in an attempt to soothe the child, allow thumb-sucking or the use of pacifiers. Mm-hmm. This is most objectionable. Constant thumb-sucking causes deformity of the mouth and jaw and crooked teeth.
All right.
Okay.
He's kind of,
I've heard that before. Like, we always we try to avoid having passies for the kids and stuff. They go out over it real quick.
Pacifiers are recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics, saying that it reduces the risk of SIDS. Thumb sucking can cause tooth problems. It's not a concern unless it persists past the age of 5. Those are the current recommendations.
Yeah, that makes because the pacifier is like dual purpose because it also keeps the mouth open a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's still like an airway.
But that was, I remember, it's going to mess up their teeth.
Yeah.
That was definitely something that you were told.
Yeah, we just avoid it because you find it to be a bad habit. Like, we saw those kids where if they didn't have their pacifier, they lost their minds. Like, man, you're not always going to have that. Maybe we should just try not to have those.
Mm-hmm. We did pacifiers, and Evelyn, we were just like, all right, no more pacifier. And she was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Had no problem with
really
it. Nikki,
great when it's like
Nikki
that.
Will, I mean... We'll have to pry it from his cold, dead hands.
Yeah. Number 2, it is now considered advisable. Oh, my God.
To love your child.
No, that just reminded me of something that even as a kid, I'm like, well, that's totally racist. And it relates to pacifiers. My friends had a little brother that was significantly younger than them, and he was pacifier kid. And he was getting closer to school. And so they were going through the same thing you guys. And Steve, you can use this technique if you want. One day he got up and his pacifiers were gone. And they told him a black guy stole them.
Jesus.
That's bad.
It is.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that was unnecessary. You could have used anyone.
Yeah. Like the very mean opposite. Santa Claus.
Yeah, you could just say like the pacifier fairy came and took it.
Yeah, someone else needed to use it. Even at that age, I was like 12. I was like, ooh, okay, see ya.
All right,
number 2 from the book that's 98 years old. It is now considered advisable to give cod liver oil, a preventative of rickets in proper amount to all infants before the end of the first month. preferably by the end of the second week. Now, Steve, did you risk rickets with your children, or did you give them that cod liver oil?
I think we risked rickets. Are they out of the rickets time frame? Or can you get that? Is that just like a young child thing, or can you get rickets anytime?
I think you can get rickets anytime.
Yeah, any age.
What are rickets?
Some kind of deficiency, isn't it?
I thought it was a vitamin D deficiency, because you can keep rickets away from having exposure to the sun.
Oh, that's right. Because scurvy is vitamin C.
Yeah.
I always thought rickets was like some kind of growth or scab. It sounds like it would be.
This is all I know about The Simpsons. About rickets. It's from an episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns put up a thing to make the city of Springfield use more energy, and it blotted out the sun. And so they pulled up in front of Homer's house, and they said, "Hey, Homer, come on out here. We're going to get Mr. Burns." And then Homer threw down whatever he was doing, and he said, "Good, I'm sick and tired of these damn rickets." And then he walked bow-legged.
Yeah.
And they got in and went to burn down the plant.
Yeah.
So when I answered like I knew things about rickets, that's the entire amount of study that I have, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All I know, too.
But we agree. I'm right, right?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't really know.
Another rule from 1926 for young mothers. Rules for the mother preceding birth. Kelly and Maitland, I'll read this slowly so you can write them down. She should not attend plays, read books, or frequent company, which may destroy the peace of her mind or get her in an oversighted condition. So, Maitland, you can't roll coal, for example.
Oh, darn.
Or read.
No. I'll get too excited?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might. Oh, yeah, Lord. Or stir too many emotions. Okay. You know?
But what if I'm reading this book about parenting?
You won't get excited.
Oh.
You know how women be emotional.
Yeah, yep. Especially when we're reading.
Yeah.
Number four from the...
I can't even read. I'm allowed to.
How to raise the baby. Yeah, for now. Enjoy it while you can. Yeah. The most satisfactory bed is of enameled iron or brass. It's easily kept. The sides should be lined, especially for the newborn baby. Make the railings just wide enough for the baby to put his head through to get a view.
That can't be... You had to have added that, right?
I did add that part.
I was going to say, what?
Hips should not be...
you.
Let them stick their head out till they grow and teach them a good lesson.
But then again, that could very well be in there because they had baby cages that you'd stick out the window of your apartment.
Did, but you wouldn't want them wide enough for them to put their heads through. That's the biggest part of a baby's body. You get the head through, you're getting the whole body through, man.
Like, yeah, it could be true.
Totally defeating the purpose.
False. Cribs should not be lined. Actually, crib bumpers have been outlawed in the United States because of the strangulation and suffocation risks they pose. Number five, mother and child are both exhausted after birth, and both require a long, restful, unmolested sleep.
Yeah, like a week. And then she's got to go back to work.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Leave them alone. That sounds good still.
In 1926, taking care of the other children and cooking the man his breakfast and everything else. After the birth, and both require a long, restful, unmolested sleep, usually for the first 12 to 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not going to put days there.
No.
The newborn infant sleeps peacefully and continuously, and on no account should it be aroused. Not even to be displayed by a proud parent to an expectant group of relatives.
Yeah, that's different now. They wake up that baby like every 4 hours to feed the thing.
Because they got it. Yeah, it says that here. It says every 1.5 to 2 hours by a nurse early on.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that with Evelyn. Oh, what do we do? Wait. Oh, it's been 2 hours and 40 minutes since she's eaten. Wake her up.
They're never gonna grow.
And then with Nikki, it's like, are you kidding? I'm not with this kid could sleep for 2 days. I'm not waking him up.
It's amazing. More tips for raising a baby 98 years ago. Maitland, what do you do if you have a child that's struggling with constipation?
You give it prunes.
Wrong!
Oh.
The most satisfactory and safest treatment for constipation over any length of time is afforded by injections of hot water or chamomile tea. Glycerin and soap enemas, when continued, are irritating to the bowel. One should always wait 2 days before resorting an enema. The injection should be given with a bulb syringe, which holds about 2 ounces.
You put it up their baby butt?
Yeah.
The Mayo Clinic says, reminder, don't use mineral oil, stimulant laxatives, or enemas to treat an infant constipation.
Yeah. You use a corkscrew.
This one. Boy, this one is way wrong. The little one's best position during sleeping or waking hours is on his abdomen, with head turned so the cheeks rest on the pillow. Though there is no special objection to lying on his side. The safest way for a baby to sleep is on their backs, which risks the reduce of suffocation and SIDS. Obviously, nothing in the crib as well.
Yeah, I think that one's gone back and forth about four different times over the years.
It has. My parents couldn't believe it when we had kids and we had them sleeping on their back because it'd been a long time since they had kids. I'm like, well, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
A baby, by the way, on that one, Steve, they showed a picture of, now, Maitland, you and Steve said they had baby cages in New York. Do you know what that is? Have you seen those?
Mm-hmm.
You have seen those?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For those who haven't, which I think all of you have, they used to be out the window of the apartment so you could throw the baby in the cage so the baby could get some fresh air.
It looks like a dog
chicken
crate.
Pen.
It looks like a dog crate attached to the outside of the window. Have you seen the picture of, I don't know, maybe it was one of those urban legends and it didn't really exist, but it was kind of like a baby cage, but for the rear of your car that was like up in the, like the rear tray behind the back seat.
Really?
Yeah. And there's
like, you put them in the window, like your old cassettes.
Yeah.
Get a little warm up there,
man. That'll be fine.
Where your baseball cap is and your old tissues.
And their little bake a baby tray.
Yeah. In this one, they have two babies, one on a changing table that is so narrow, it's just a matter of time till the baby falls off and dies. And then another baby on a shelf above the table, which is even more dangerous. They said a young baby during the first weeks of life should have two or three movements of their bowels every day. That's a little light, five times a day, every once, or it could be once in every 5 days. It's just as long as it's consistent.
Okay, consistent. I feel like once every 5 days, even if that's consistent, seems like not enough.
That's a lot of time to go without poop.
It is. That would be at least 3 days longer than you should wait before giving them the soap enema you've heard so much about in the 1920s.
Ugh. Yeah.
Once your way to build up vital resistance and overcome the tendency to contract smallpox or other contagions is to train the child to poop often. Regular movements of the bowels keeps the devil's disease away.
Oh, that explains why I've never had smallpox.
Right?
How do you train a baby to poop?
I'm not sure.
What's the trick there?
Authorities may require a breast pump for women, but such instruments are likely to be too powerful and cause injury, in some cases sucking the nipple off.
Well, I believe that 100 years ago, that they wouldn't have quite perfected the suction amount on those things.
They probably just stuck them in a gear and they turned the crank.
And you know, it was the size of an iron lung.
Oh,
like just this gigantic, weird machine.
Well, women just, they need nipple cream no matter how you're doing your breastfeeding, whether it's a pump or a baby. It like destroys nipples. I hate that for women.
It's pretty nasty.
I can't tell you the amount of nipple cream I bought for moms for baby showers. I'm like, this compression socks and witch hazel wipes are like the three things all my friends who have had babies now are like, this is what you really, really need.
I will never forget how mind bending it was the very first time I saw a nipple in a pump. and it pulls it out. You go, what am I seeing?
It really does change the way you see breasts after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was really, really strange. A Willy Wonka movie. What is happening?
What about their eyes, Steve? You're going to like this one. Imagine this to your own eyes as a baby, if you were a baby in the 1920s. If any pus appears, the eyes should be carefully wiped every hour with a solution of 10 grains of boric acid.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Should the lids have the tendency to stick together, put a little Vaseline into the eyeballs at night.
Okay.
That still works.
Yes, I'm sure it does.
I've had to put, when I had a little eye infection, I had to put Vaseline up there.
You really did?
Yeah, because it doesn't bother an eye. It doesn't bother the human eye.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bothering Steve's eyes right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you need to keep something slightly moist, but not soaking wet or whatever. Yeah.
Finally, the one that all of your parents thought about you. Yeah. Babies do not need to be cuddled and should not be. Keep them in an upright position alone as much as possible. Actually in there.
Yeah, that's why I put my kids on coat hangers and would just close the door.
So
I could get a good night's sleep.
Make sure your baby is always standing.
Yes, even when they can't.
Yeah.
Put them in a jumper.
Yeah, it helps with the rickets.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.